Take your Bible, please, and turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Here in Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 to 6, we have the first full example of missionaries being sent out for a service for the Lord. I'd like for us to take a few moments just to review some principles concerning these ones that were sent out. And our responsibility towards a missionary that has been sent out. It's certainly an honour to support missionaries. It's a greater honour to send out missionaries. So please, church family, don't take for granted what you have here. Can I just say that? You might say, well, Pastor, isn't it the same with every other independent Baptist church? No. It's not. I wish it was. Really. So please don't take for granted what you have here. And don't cast, so to speak, the pearls before swines by not appreciating what we have here as a church family to support a good number of missionaries. To once again be involved in the sending out of a missionary. Here in Acts chapter 13, verse number 1, it reads, "Now there were," present tense, "in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul." Then in verse number 2 it reads again, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." I'd like for us to review a number of principles concerning the commissioning of a servant of God for the work. First of all, I'd like for us to emphasize from this passage of Scripture the commitment of the missionary. The commitment of the missionary. Now, concerning the commitment of the missionary, these ones that were sent out, first and foremost, may I note, these men were already actively involved within the local church there at Antioch. These men were already actively involved within the local church ministry there at Antioch. They had leading positions within the church. They were heavily involved in the preaching and teaching ministry within the church at Antioch. God has a way of calling people into a greater ministry that are already involved in the ministry. Normally, God doesn't call idle souls. Now, God can choose to every now and again, but that is not the normal. The normal is that God uses people that are on the move for the Lord. And God just transfers them. They continue to serve, but they serve from one location to another. And certainly Sister Lilia has been a glowing testimony of that. An example of a servant. Sister Lilia has been one of those church family members. And there are a number of you. That both my wife and I just know that we could just ask and you would say, "Yes, Pastor." My wife and I were only discussing just the other day, she made this comment, "I think now I know what a servant looks like." Sister Lilia has been an example in that area. She has never said no. She's never hesitated. simply just said, "Yes, Pastor." These men that are about to be sent out of this local church were not idle. They were actively involved. I would dare say they were happy serving the Lord right where they were at. I know it doesn't say that in the scriptures, but I think we can safely assume, would you agree, that they were happy serving the Lord. They weren't looking for a way out, they were just serving the Lord, teaching the Word of God, and God comes in. He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. In the commitment of these missionaries, we find that they were already actively involved within the local church. Secondly, I'd like for us to note there, according to verse number 1, that these men were able to work with others within the local church. There are 5 men that are mentioned there in verse number 1. And we note that they're working together in the preaching, teaching ministry of the church. And there's another great mark of an effective servant of the Lord. A missionary that will do a work for God is one that can work with others. And the local church is a wonderful setting to shape us and mould us in the area of service, to the point that we can work with others. And Sister Lilia has been a glowing example of that. These men had the ability to work with others. That's a servant of God. We certainly don't need any more Lone Rangers out there. And Sister Lilia would agree with me that she'll never be a pastor, because she's not the husband of one wife. She can never be a pastor according to the Word of God. So more so within her ministry, she has to work with the pastor within that ministry there in Ecuador. But it's no different to you and I. A true servant of God has the ability and chooses to work with others. These men were already involved. I take note of God's people that can work with others. That's a mark of a servant. Lesson number 3 I'd like for us to note concerning these missionaries that are about to be sent out. Their focus was upon serving. There is no reference here to positions. It just simply reads there were certain prophets and teachers within that church. So these men were not interested in a position or being number one. They just wanted to serve. They just wanted to use their gifts and abilities for God's glory. That's a mark of an effective servant of God. But also note there in verse number 2, it reads that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The word fasted there in the Bible implies prayer. A part of biblical fasting is prayer. These men were given to prayer. These men were devoted to communion with the Lord. And if we are to be effective in our service for the Lord, we need to walk with God. Sister Lily, I'd like to encourage you this morning, continue to walk with the Lord. He'll empower you. He'll strengthen you. He'll provide that anointing upon your ministry. Some wonderful characteristics within the life of these men. They're already serving. They worked alongside others. There was a focus upon serving, not position. And these men were given to communion with God as they ministered, the Bible teaches us, and fasted. They were men that walked with God. And then we find from that basis a calling to the mission field. during their active involvement within the local church, the Holy Spirit calls Barnabas and Saul to another ministry. The call was personal. Note then verse number 2, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul." These men were personally called to the ministry, a calling to fulfill a new work for Almighty God. When God saves us that we might be usable in His sight. And as these men served faithfully within this local church, it was the Holy Spirit that said, "Set apart or separate me, Barnabas and Saul." Now note that God called two, but He left three behind. That's usually how God works. It's the ones and twos that God sends out, but the majority had to remain behind. Why? Because somebody needs to hold the rope. Amen? Amen?
Right.
We need to hold the rope, Sister Lilia, there in Ecuador. It's our responsibility. So even though God called two, Saul and Barnabas, the other men were to stay put. They had no calling from God. Now, I don't read that they got all anxious and were up in arms as to whether God was calling them to the ministry. No, they just continued to serve. And may I commend Sister Lilia to you this morning, church family, that as she leaves on Tuesday for the field of Ecuador, she needs us to pray for her. And also she needs us to just continue in the work. And by God's grace, Sister Lilia, nothing will change. Nothing will change. We're going to continue on in the service of the Lord by the grace of God. God sends two out, but three remain behind. God places His hand upon Barnabas and Saul. And then note then verse number 3, when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. They commissioned them. They identified with these men. And that's exactly what we've done this morning. We've identified with Sister Lilia. We're commending her to the ministry that God has called her to. And by the grace of God, we need to commit ourselves, church family, to continue to pray for Sister Lilia. And note there at the end of verse number 3, it reads, they sent them away. There's a separation. There was a moving on. And when it's time to move on, it's time to move on. The time has finally come. And Tuesday morning, Sister Lilia will fly, make her way towards the mission field. But we as God's people need to continue to pray for her. We need to continue to be steadfast in the work of the Lord. We need to abound in the work of God. And I'm thoroughly convinced that the report was given in chapter 14 by these men over a season of time that the church was continued to be faithful. They continued to serve the Lord, and church family, we need to be faithful. There are 265 nations that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We support only a handful. Oh, but Pastor, we're doing so much. Yes, we are, but I think we can do a little bit more. But we need the anointing and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. We need God to guide us. We need God to lead us. And we need to be open and receptive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we might do more for the glory of God and trust God's power more so for our lives. And then in verse number 4 it reads, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost," note once again a reference to the Holy Ghost, God leading these men out. And if God truly calls us to a ministry, God's Holy Spirit leads us. There's got to be the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that was evident within this church because there was harmony. We don't read of any schism. Amen? We don't read of any members putting up their hands and no. They can't go. That's my life stage teacher. No! They're not going. They can't go. We don't read any of that. We read of harmony between the church family and the servants of God. But there's something in that, brethren. Because if God really leads, then there is harmony. There is unity. There is a oneness of mind from the leadership down. And certainly was with Barnabas and Saul. Because they were open to the guidance of the Spirit of God, and no doubt the church was open to the guidance of the Spirit of God, when God, in His fullness of time, called Barnabas and Saul out of that church fellowship to a region beyond, there was complete harmony between the local church and the missionaries. I'm so thankful that we can certainly testify this morning between Sister Lilia and the church family, there is harmony, is there not? But note there in verses 6 down to verse 12. Before we begin reading verse number 6, I'd like for you to note at the end of verse number 5 that God in His grace added John to their ministry. So Barnabas and Saul are sent out to do a work for the Lord. And in God's grace, He calls out another servant to join them, John Mark, the author of the Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. So God adds another laborer to the team. So now we find Barnabas, Saul, and John Mark. Note verse number 6 down to verse 12, please. "And when they had gone through the isle unto Pathos, they found a certain sorcerer, a man involved in witchcraft, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus, a false prophet, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, desired to hear the word of God." So this man wanted to hear the word of God from the lips of Barnabas and Saul. See, when God opens up a door and sends a missionary out, God has people prepared. Amen. And Sister Lily, as you make your way towards Ecuador, I will assure you God has people prepared for you to reach for His glory. But bear in mind, there will be opposition. In verse number 8, it goes on to read, "And Elymas, the sorcerer," which is his name by interpretation, this is Bar Jesus, the one mentioned there in verse number 6, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So this demon-possessed individual tried to distract this deputy from hearing the gospel. Note then verse 9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So the Apostle Paul, under the guidance of the Spirit of God, rebukes this demon-possessed individual for coming between the Savior and the eternal soul of this man. And then in verse number 10, it goes on to read and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So God performs a miracle under the guidance of the Spirit of God. God uses Saul to rebuke this sorcerer. And under the guidance of the Spirit of God, Saul said to him that you will be without sight for a season because of your wickedness. And just as he had said, that's exactly what took place. But note the response in verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. He was saved, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So what brought about conversion? Was it the miracle of seeing that sorcerer go blind at the words of the great apostle? No, it wasn't. It was the doctrine. It was the truth of the Word of God that Barnabas and Saul had preached to him, that convinced him that he was a sinner, Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that he needs to receive that eternal gift of everlasting life. He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Sister Lily, as you minister in Ecuador, the devil awaits you. The devil awaits you. But allow me to encourage you, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And God is able, if you will just let the Spirit of God guide you and lead you, God will use you still to win souls to Christ. Oh, we need to get behind our missionaries, do we not? I'm thankful for the Evans family, for their faithfulness. I'm encouraged that he had the heart to ring me today and basically say, Pastor, I need some help. I'm thankful for the De Leon family that time to time he'll ring and say, Pastor, I need some help.
Amen.
Sister Lily, I want you to ring. You need some help. We're here to help. Are we not?
Amen.
We need to get behind our missionaries. We need to be faithful in our giving, but we also need to be faithful in praying and supporting our missionaries. Sister Lilia, thank you for being willing to go. I have no desire to go to Ecuador. Church is stuck with me. God called Lilia to Ecuador. We need to support her. We need to pray for her. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.